Welcome back to the programme. Now, caller was on to say, I live in Dundalk and I cross the border occasionally to go to Newry. My insurer wrote to me telling me I could apply online for a green card. It seems some people are just looking to get upset about minor things. The North are leaving the EU along with the UK. They should expect some minor paperwork hurdles to deal with. That's a happy camper, anyway. Marion, since we all have to show our insurance disc on our windscreen, why do we need a green card? Why do you ask me impossible questions? I have absolutely no idea. Just I know some people love bureaucracy, other people hate it. I would be in the second category. Anyway, on to the lyrics. I've played all my cards and that's what you've done to nothing. More to say, no more ace to play. That's the second one. And we will leave that there. I was going to tell you that there was a... If you're talking about people getting fussed about small things, sweating the small stuff, so to speak, and talking about Brexit, Conor Pope is writing in today's Irish Times of what is described as a potential nightmare ahead for online customers in the event of a hard breakfast Brexit. Prices, custom holdup, delivery delays, obstacles to returning unwanted purchases and a dramatic curtailment in the retail choices and consumer rights. These are just some of the issues which may arise. That's may arise. When he goes through £500, €650 and goes on to say, would you believe that Ireland is in the top three countries in the developed world for online shopping? And I think I might have said it before because it bewilders me how people can shop for shoes, but I know loads of people who do. So that's all potentially ahead of us. More will be revealed next week as Theresa May attempts to get her deal through the Commons one more time. Now we are moving on to the brain, no less. And I'm joined by Dr. Sabina Brennan. She's a psychologist and author of 100 Days to a Younger Brain with top tips on how to maintain and improve brain health. And I'm thinking Charlie Savage here again, who was so concerned about forgetting things. But anyway, so how do we make our brains younger? And Sabina, one of the biggest fears that people have as they age is that they do, or that they might, or that they will experience memory loss.
Yeah, it is a big fear. When I started working in this area way back in 2011, I was developing a brain health awareness program for Europe funded by the European Commission. And the first thing I did actually was survey people across Europe and I asked them what they feared most about growing old, and they told me that they feared losing their memory and losing their independence. And they also said that dementia was the disease that they feared most. And unfortunately, their fears aren't unfounded because failing mental function is the single biggest obstacle to independent living.
Of course.
Which is why
yeah.
it's really important that we actually start looking after our brain health.
And how do you do that?
Well, the thing is, you can do that. It's kind of funny, really. You know, we talk about physical health, Marion, and thankfully people are talking more and more about mental health. But it just seemed kind of crazy to me. Nobody was talking about brain health. And you need your brain for everything. There isn't one thing that you can do without your brain health. I mean, we pay more attention to our dental health than we do to our brain health. We brush our teeth twice a day, and yet we don't even consciously do anything for our brain health. And there's lots of things that you can do, and it's grounded in science. Everything in the book is based on large studies, you know, years of research, meta-analysis. It's not these one-off studies. But the things that you can do to boost your brain health...
Yeah, I just see, to cheer everybody up, our brains are losing volume from when we enter our 30s.
From our 30s onwards, yes, our brain starts to waste through a process called atrophy, which means that we lose brain cells and the connections between them, which sounds really depressing.
Yes, it does.
You lose about 2% of your brain volume every 10 years. Now, you lose it from the age of between 30 and 60, but after 60, that loss starts to accelerate. And actually, in someone with Alzheimer's disease, that loss is double that of a healthy person of that age. Now, Now, that's the bad news. The good news is by living a brain healthy life, by making brain healthy choices, you can actually maintain your brain volume and halt that atrophy. Now, you can do this by actually, the brain has a natural capacity to adapt and change. It's called neuroplasticity, and that enriches the connections in your brain, and that in turn can increase your brain volume and you can grow new neurons. And how do you do that? How do you harness that natural thing? Well, that plasticity happens at three points in our lives. It happens when we're born, because as humans we're born with incomplete brains. You know, a giraffe can walk within hours of walking. We can't walk till, you know, we're a year old. It happens in response to a brain injury or a stroke to try and recruit other undamaged areas of the brain to take over the functioning of the damaged area. And then it happens in adulthood anytime something new is learned. So learning is key. Now, I'm not talking just about academic learning or education. I'm just talking about learning anything. Just meeting new people, experiencing new environments, even tasting new food, listening to different kinds of music, challenging yourself is hugely important. And that's, I think, why our brain starts to atrophy in a way after we're 30. It's not just about the age. If you think about it, we front load a lot of the things that are good for brain health, like education and learning, into the early part of our life.
Yeah.
We finished university, you know, if you do go that far, by 25. And, you know, by 30, you've settled into your job and you can kind of do a lot of it on autopilot. So we stop challenging our brain. We also tend to stop doing another thing that's super important for our brain health, which is physical activity. We tend to stop that as we get on in later life. And we should be just remaining and being constantly physically active, because your brain, sorry.
No, how does that impact on
your
brain?
Yeah, it does. And that's something that usually surprises people. Physical activity, your brain only weighs 2% of your body, but it consumes 25% of the oxygen and nutrients that you take in every day. So it's a high energy organ. So it needs a good blood supply. It needs a constant supply of oxygen. And when you're physically fit, you can supply your brain, you know, in a much more efficient fashion. So heart health is hugely important for brain health, because what's good for your heart is good for your brain health. And in fact, several risk factors for Alzheimer's disease are in the cardiovascular sphere. So midlife high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, midlife obesity, and low levels of physical activity. Those four are all associated with heart health, and they all in turn are risk factors for brain health. So maintaining a healthy diet and a healthy weight and a healthy heart will really, really boost your brain health.
Does this mean you have to live a miserable life?
No, it doesn't, actually, because if you think about it, if you're physically fit, actually, and I don't just mean aerobically fit, I mean, and I talk about this in the book, I have a whole section in a chapter about super agers, like people who took up weightlifting at 82. There's a guy called Charles Uxter, and he has muscles, and there's a wonderful woman called Ernestine, and her second name escapes me. She took up weightlifting at 56, and she is world weightlifting champion at 82. If you Google her online, folks, she is fully ripped muscles on her stomach and here, and she's a personal trainer. So our muscles don't waste because we age. They may waste because we stop using them.
Oh, so use it or lose it.
Use it or lose it, yeah, in terms. And challenging yourself and learning new things is exciting. Being socially engaged is hugely important for brain health as well. So get out and about and meet people and talk to them. And particularly as we get older, we need more intergenerational contact, because there's no nice way to say it, Marion. If we just hang out with people the same age as us, our social circle is going to diminish as our friends die off. So we need more engagement, you know, with people of different ages. And that's really, really, because if you think about it, while we're talking here, social engagement is quite a challenging activity for your brain, because you're taking in what someone's saying, you're trying to, you know, interpret that, make sense of it, trying to figure out how you're going to answer. You're also reading subtle cues. Are they telling the truth? Are they lying? How should I respond to that? And then often you're doing that while you're doing something else,
yeah,
like, you know, eating or, you know, so it's a really challenging and enjoyable activity as well.
Right. And again, I'll come back to the exercise. How much exercise do you think
Well, it's not even just exercise, actually. So the recommendation is, I think it's, you know, 30 minutes five times a day of moderate exercise.
Five times a week.
Five times a week. 5 times a week. Now, I would say don't take that as an excuse to do nothing on the other 2 days. I would also say, in addition, that is in addition to just your normal moving about, you
right.
know, it should be focused. I wouldn't sit on your laurels on the other 2 days. I would also incorporate weightlifting, strength and balance. But the other thing I will say is that in addition to that exercise, you need to move more. We're sitting far too often.
And standing.
Yeah, so standing all the time or sitting all the time are not good for your brain health. So I actually have set an alarm on my phone to get up every hour to stand and walk about, because sitting for prolonged periods is not good for your physical health, but it's also not good for your brain health. So actually I incorporate some of my physical exercise in those periods. So sometimes I set the alarm, I get up, and sometimes I'll do some sit-ups, and then the next hour I might try and do a few push-ups. I'm not very good at those. But or else I just walk up and down the steps at the bottom of my stairs or something. And that's actually a great way to get the exercise in without having to take a huge chunk
right.
out of your day.
I saw a recommendation of walking sideways.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
do you want people to get people with the white coats to take you away?
I don't recommend walking sideways, but I do recommend actually trying to improve your balance. So I do suggest maybe if you're brushing your teeth in the morning somewhere safe, you know, brush them while standing on your right leg in the morning and in the evening on your left leg, because balance, the reason balance is important, because I know people would be saying, what the hell has your balance got to do with your brain health? But as we age, we become at increased risk for falling. And if you fall, you're more likely to fall again. And falling increases your risk of developing dementia. So anything that you can do to prevent yourself from falling, which is why I say do the muscle exercise as well,
yeah.
because stronger muscles will prevent you from falling as well. And of course, actually, a very fundamental thing for brain health, if you fall, you may well hit your head. And injure yourself that way. And that's a very basic thing around brain health. Wear your seatbelts, wear your helmets. You know, don't climb on a ladder without someone holding the ladder. Those kind of things are very important, because you don't want to injure your brain.
That's for sure. You have some, stress. Stress
yes,
is
yes.
very important.
Stress, yeah. There's an entire chapter in the book on stress. And I do want to talk about that, because I think stress gets a bad rap. Stress is not inherently good or bad. Any process that has survived because it serves a purpose, you know, through adaptation. And the challenge that I was talking to you, that is so important for engaging your brain, requires the stress response. That's how you rise to the challenge, is you get a release of adrenaline and cortisol. That's the same feeling, actually, in your gut. Excitement and stress are very similar. And you get a spike of cortisol before you get up in the morning that gets you up out of bed. So you need stress. You need an optimum amount. However, if you have poorly managed chronic stress, that actually impairs the neuroplasticity I was talking about
yeah.
in a part of your brain called the hippocampus, which is where learning and memory occur. So actually, poorly managed chronic stress impairs your memory in the long term and actually impairs your ability to learn new things. It's also a part of the brain that is particularly vulnerable to Alzheimer's disease. So you need to learn how to manage stress. Too little stress in your life is equally bad, because that means your brain is understimulated.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not a fan of doing nothing in retirement, and things like unemployment, you know, aren't great for brain health. It also leads to boredom and depression. And depression is also a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease in later life.
I've heard so many people say that when they retire, that there's this sense of, like, you can only play so much golf.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I give a lot of talks, Marion, and it's one area of brain health where older people are kind of ahead of the posse, because they're tuned into it. And recently, actually, since the book has come out, I've been talking to researchers, younger researchers, and they're excited by what's in the book, because they've said, oh, I should start now. I'm 30 or whatever, which is great. But I meet a lot of older people when I go around the country giving talks, and they say that to me too. You know, that it's they've so much to give. We're much younger now at 65 and 70. You know,
yeah.
it's not old. old. It really isn't. And people have sharp minds and they have a lot to give and they feel underused and undervalued. And I actually think they're a very undertapped resource in society because we're not valuing the wisdom that comes with age. And that's something that doesn't decline with age. Wisdom increases with age. It's not all doom and gloom in terms of, you know, people right. think about memory loss with age, but actually some things really improve with age. Older people are wiser. They have, you know, that's through all their experiences. But they are also better at making decisions and determining risk and evaluating those things. So, you know, we need to start tapping into those issues as well.
Okay. Caller says, couldn't agree more with your Dr. Sabina Brennan. Hit 60 soon, never felt better, working fully and on my third master's. Oh, wow. Looking forward to the next 60 years. There's a challenge, isn't it? I agree with Sabina, you can't stop because you get old. You get old because you stop.
Agree totally.
Run up and down the stairs during the advert, says somebody from Killaloot. Now, you were also going to tell us about some little things you could do, little practices you could do that could be quite entertaining around the dinner table. Exercises from your book, 100 Days to a Younger Brain. Verbal fluency.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think you're going to put those up on the website.
We are,
you?
Yeah.
So what I should explain is the book is a practical book. So yeah. It's written in very everyday language. It explains the science behind it in very everyday language. But then you do assessments of yourself. So when we're talking about stress, you actually assess your stress levels and figure out what your triggers are. So you can create your own plan and actually you create a brain health profile, where you are now, what your assets are and what your risks are. And then you work through a plan, your own personal bespoke plan, because everyone's brain is different. And you know, to work to improve your assets and reduce your risk. So at the start of the book, actually, there are some of these, as you said, they're assessments. They're actually used in psychological research, but they assess things like verbal fluency and short-term memory. So that verbal fluency one is about timing yourself.
You set a timer for 1 minute and record yourself naming as many animals as you can in time.
Yes, that's it. Exactly. And in the book, then, you see, it tells you, I think you're going to show it on your website, anyway, but it you can do it for each other. You can get someone else to time it, and in the book then it tells you, you know, what an average score is for your age range, so you'll see where you kind of fit.
Right. And another one, which is a 30 second one, which is to remember your memory.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So basically that's a memory one, and it's I think it's a list of 12 words.
Yeah.
And you just look at them for about 30 seconds, turn them over and try and remember as many, write down as many as you can remember.
And then check yourself.
And the same, it's again, you check your score, see where you are. But they're very simple, short ones.
Bit of fun.
Bit of fun. Yeah.
Harmless fun, as we say, really. We're going to have to leave it there at the moment. The book is called 100 Days to a Younger Brain. Those exercises will be on our website, rte.ie/ Marion and Sabina Brennan. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, Marion.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.